For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Mike Renner. He covers the NFL draft for CBS Sports. There certainly is a lot happening in the draft. Mike, appreciate you popping on today, man. Really appreciate your time.
For sure. Thanks so much for having me. Yikes.
Absolutely. So we'll split this thing up just a little bit. We'll do a little bit national. We'll also do a little bit local here and focus in on the Chiefs. Let's start with the national storyline, which is Shedeur Sanders. I have no clue what's going to happen. You could tell me that he goes number 3 overall to the Giants, and I wouldn't be totally surprised. You could tell me that Cleveland trades back into the first round and selects him. You can tell me that he goes to the Browns. There are so many different possibilities. What do you think happens with Colorado's quarterback?
I think he falls. I don't think he falls outside of the first round entirely, but I do think he falls into that part of the mid-20s where all of a sudden you have all those teams that passed on him in the first round who still could use a quarterback or still are in the market. All of a sudden it becomes more enticing for them that they didn't have to pass on like a, you know, Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter or this blue chip player, and they could still get a potential franchise quarterback just because I know my eval on him. Not a first-round grade. I know the evals on them of people I trust at that position, and none of them have first-round grades on this guy. And when that's the case, it's like rare that a bunch of NFL teams will, especially when there's only a few NFL teams that really need a quarterback right now. So I think that's ultimately where he ends up falling.
The thing to me with Shedeur is just watching him is if you're going to spend a premium pick, now it's different. If we're talking about the late first-round pick or a second-round pick, but why I've always been hesitant to say that he's going in the top 10 is he just doesn't jump off the screen. And usually I feel like if you're going to spend a top 10 pick on a quarterback, you better be built like Josh Allen. You better be physically impressive the way that Anthony Richardson was coming out of Florida, even though the college production wasn't there. Everything about Shedeur is intangibles and toughness. It's not based on arm strength or speed or any of those things. It's just really hard to justify being a top 10 pick if that's how you describe him.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I mean, he'd have, of like, you know, the past decade, top 10 picks at quarterback, he'd probably have the weakest arm. Like, it's either him or Joe Burrow who would be the weakest arm quarterback drafted in that range. And Burrow, like, you can't compare Burrow's on-field performance with Shedeur's. It's night and day. Like, if you're that, you know, if you're that small, one, if you have that weak of an arm, you better have an elite trait to make up for it. Like, you better have just a clean slate everywhere else. But then there's other parts of his game that are worrisome as an NFL evaluator that you're just like, eh, it's probably too much of a risk to take that highly.
Right now, we're talking to Mike Renner. We're going to break this thing up. We're going to talk some national, also talk some local, and we'll talk more specifically about the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that the top 4 picks are starting to kind of be solidified. Cam Ward going number 1 overall, Travis Hunter going number 2 overall, Abdul Carter going number 3. I think that Will Campbell's going to go number 4 to the New England Patriots. It seems like now the draft is potentially going to start at 5. We had a draft expert on yesterday. He thinks that the Jags are going to take Ashton Jeanty. Where do you think the Jags go at 5?
I think they're really hoping to trade that pick. I think they're really hoping someone comes up with any sort of offer to give them more draft capital, kind of kickstart this new era in Jacksonville. Because just by looking at the board, there's not a guy really worthy of number five overall in this class. Those are your blue chip guys that went before. There's not anyone else I have a top five grade on in this draft class. And even the guys after that are like borderline top 10 grades. It just kind of runs thin real quickly. So, you know, if you can get anything back, say you trade down to 10 with the Bears or, you know, 12 with the Cowboys, if you can get just even a second rounder or a third rounder in return for that, you're probably doing it if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars right now, because the guy you're picking at five probably won't be too much better than the guy you're getting at 10 or 12.
You just mentioned that there's not a lot of players that have a top five draft board prediction. Certainly makes a lot of sense. How many guys do you have as top 10 after you get past those top four guys that we mentioned?
I just have Mason Graham. So Mason Graham, the Michigan defensive tackle, is the only other guy that I have a top 10 grade on in this draft class.
It feels to me, you could tell me if I'm wrong, Ashton Jeanty, I think, is the best skill position player in this year's draft class, but I think the argument against him is just going to be positional value. Now, he is somebody who's going to go in the top 10. I don't question that at all, but I feel like he's a high-end prospect. He just plays a position that people devalue.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. That's how I see it, is that, you know, as far as running back prospects go, he's right up there with the guys who have gone top 10 in the past decade. You know, Zeke Elliott, Saquon Barkley, Bijan Robinson. I don't think he's at the top of that heap, but I don't think he's at the bottom of that heap either. So from that perspective, I fully expect him to go top 10. And the only thing holding me back, though, is it is such a good running back class. Like, you will find starters in the fourth round this year. It's that deep, that talented, that I just don't know if you need to reach. But it's, I don't think anyone's going to argue, because Ashton Jeanty is just that good.
Do you have running back as the deepest position in this year's draft class?
Yes, I think so. In terms of year-on-year, which class is going to look the most special historically, you know, 5 years from now, I think it's going to be running back. I just think there's so much talent at it. There's other good classes, but running back, to me, looks like once in a decade sort of class.
What's really exciting to me about the running back draft class is it's just a lot of guys that you know. Like, if you watch college football, it's Cam Scataboo. It's Dylan Sampson from Tennessee. It's the two running backs from Ohio State. Like, it's all guys that you've known and seen play at a high level that I agree with you. I think there's so much value in this draft class that if you're a team that needs a running back, I don't really know if you can miss in rounds, probably not round one, because I don't think there's a lot that are worthy of being first round selections. But you look at rounds two, three, and four, I think we're talking about multiple 1,000-yard guys, multiple Pro Bowl caliber backs that are going to come out of this year's draft class.
100%. I would be very surprised if you don't have, you know, almost, you know, close to a quarter of the league starters from this draft alone in the next couple of years. That's how good it is.
Right now, we're talking to Mike Renner of CBS Sports, going through the NFL draft, just getting his thoughts on everything related to the draft. Who is a player that you think is going to shock us with how high they go? Because we had Cleveland Farrell a couple of years ago. He went number 4 overall. We had Michael Penix Jr. go number 8 overall. Who is that player that you think on Thursday is just going to surprise us and be, oh my goodness, I can't believe this happened?
I think the one guy that I keep going back to, and I don't know how high he's going to go, but if, like, that I really haven't seen, you know, top 10 to 15, that would not surprise me and people would be kind of going nuts about it, is Nick Amandwaring, the South Carolina safety. Just because he feels a little bit like, you know, when Tremaine Edmonds went, like, top 15, the linebacker when he was with Buffalo, he kind of feels like the safety version of that, where it's just, he is such a freak, such a physical specimen at the position. You know, he has a 6'8" wingspan, his 4.36 40-yard dash, just unbelievable physical tools. Even if, you know, on-field performance isn't maybe top 10, but you're not betting for, you know, you're not drafting a guy for what he did in college. You're betting on what he can do in the pros. And more often than not, in a draft class that doesn't have a lot of guys with, like, high-end upside, E-Man Ward is a guy who has high-end upside that could ultimately get pushed up boards because of it.
Do you think there's a chance that Jackson Dart gets drafted ahead of Shadur? It seems like that's starting to be a little bit more of a sentiment. Do you think there's a chance that happens?
Oh, I think it's a very real chance. I came away watching them with almost identical grades. and I know a lot of people who have Dart higher than Shadur. So it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. The way quarterbacks get scouted, there's almost never a consensus. I mean, just try to get people to put a consensus on who they draft in the NFL right now as like their top five quarterbacks. You're not going to find one. So most drafts is difficult to find a consensus, and especially in this one after Cam Ward, I think it's a jumbled mess of who people have at quarterback too.
I think a lot of people have McMillan as the number one wide receiver on the board. I think that Golden is probably going to be the number two receiver that comes off the board. After that, it seems to be varying opinions. A lot of people here locally are, I guess, keeping up with Luther Burden and where he could potentially land. Emeka Egbuka, he's a prospect that I really like out of Ohio State. Could you see a scenario where Burden or Egbuka are on the board whenever Kansas City drafts at 31?
I think so. I think at least one of them. I'd be surprised if both are gone. But to me, the guy more likely to be there is probably Burden at this point, just because of the disappointing junior year, you know, the questions around his development from freshman year to junior year and if he really got better, and you know, the fact that he still has holes in his game that need to improve. Whereas Egbuka is just like a super polished, high floor, you know, A-plus character sort of guy that I think – especially in this draft, when there's a lot of unknowns, I think a lot of people are going to trend towards a known, and he seems like a known quantity. So I think one's going to be there. I'd be surprised if both are, though.
Where do you think the best value for the Chiefs is going to be? Because one theory that has been kind of thrown out there is a lot of the tackles that maybe Kansas City would kind of highlight, they're not going to be on the board. Maybe the Chiefs want to go edge rusher. The value could potentially not be there in round one. Before we kind of hone in on specific players, where do you think the best value for Kansas City is if they stand pat at 31?
That's a great question. It's hard to say at this point in time just where it's going to go. I think defensive line, though, is probably where the value is going to be. I just imagine because I really like the DT class. I really like the edge class. I think someone will end up from either of those tumbling down the board all the way at 31. I just think that ultimately will be where, you know, you might get a top 20-ish sort of player down there. But, you know, there could be a run on them too. People might have watched Super Bowl and been like, I need to load up on as many defensive linemen as possible, follow the Eagles method, and maybe that's where it goes. So it's really hard to say, but I do think, you know, I'd be attacking the deeper positions in the class, and defensive line definitely qualifies.
Let's talk about the offensive line first, and let's kind of narrow it in. There seems to be a group of offensive linemen that are not realistic for the Chiefs. No reason to talk a lot about them. But I think if you look at Connerly, if you look at Simmons, if you look at those players in the range that they could potentially be, it sounds like Kansas City will either have a chance to get them at 31, or potentially they need to be willing to move up to 22. Let's use that as an example to try to go draft their potential right tackle for the future.
Yeah, I don't see those guys. That's where I'm thinking, just because it's such, you know, tackle is just one of those positions where the guys who have it, you can see it. Those guys have it, right? They have the physical capabilities to play tackle in the NFL at a high level. And so after them, it gets pretty barren. You know, there's not a lot of, pretty much all the day two tackles that we're talking about is like second, third round tackles. They're going to be guards in the NFL. They're going to get moved inside. So there's not really the second wave of tackles that you can go find like a Kingsley Suamataia this year. And even you see with him, like oftentimes those day two tackles, you wait for them to develop and it never turns around. So I just think they'll be off the board. I think they'll have to, if they want one of those guys at offensive tackle. Now, one of the guards like Gray Zabel, Tyler Booker, the Alabama guard, I think one of those could very well be on the board, but I think the tackles will be gone by then.
If you're looking at the value, and I guess sort of how you project these guys, is there value in moving up to get one of them? Because nobody that does your job for a living seems to think that this is a great draft really anywhere other than running back. You don't really hear a lot of praise for the tackles, a lot of praise for the pass rush. So if Kansas City is looking for a potential left or right tackle, is there enough value in this draft to package a third round pick and try to move up to go draft a Josh Simmons, let's say at 19, for example?
So the one problem is with those two, it's that Connerly is a little bit of a project. Simmons has the patellar tendon tear. It's, you're making this move, and it might not benefit you until 2 or 3 years down the line. Now, I think both will ultimately get there, right? But it might just be a longer-term move. And by that point, you know, Kingsley might have figured it out. Wani may have figured it out. You might just have one of those guys on the bench. So It's a tough nut to crack there for the Kansas City Chiefs. I do not envy Brett Veach in this draft, but I do think that they just need to start getting cheaper and younger. And I'm not sure they're in the sort of window where I would start throwing away picks to go get guys. I'd probably just stand pat or even collect more picks if I were them.
Right now, we're talking to Mike Renner here, just going through the NFL draft for just a little bit, just trying to see what Kansas City could potentially do. Let's mention some of the defensive end or D tackle possibilities for Kansas City. Where's the value for them at 31?
Yeah, I think someone like James Pierce from Tennessee or Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M or even Nick Scorton from Texas A&M could fall down the board and be there for them. And those are guys who are either high-end athletes or highly productive throughout their college careers. So I think that's what I'm looking at on the edge. And then DT, I've heard or I'm seeing either Derek Harmon, the Oregon defensive tackle, is likely to fall with injury. Walter Nolan could fall because of off-field concerns. And Kenneth Grant could fall just because of a lackluster pre-draft process for him. But all three of those DTs, depending on who you talk to, some people have them in the top 10. Like it's a unique DT class in that there's three different types. Like, yeah, three tech and Nolan, you got like a 3-4 defensive end in Harmon, you got a nose tackle and Grant. But I think if you're the Chiefs, you could truly need all three of those body types at some point here soon, with just the lack of talent and all the guys that have went out that door for the Chiefs on the interior.
I really think that for the Chiefs and sort of how their pass rush is kind of built right now, if they take a edge rusher early on, that will tell me almost everything I think about how they feel about Felix Onyedike. In theory, yeah. Now heading into year three, we shouldn't even be having this conversation about them drafting an edge rusher. You have Chris Jones, you have Charles Omenihu, you have George Karloftis. You spent a first-round pick on one. Like, this should be the year where you should finally reap that benefit. If this team goes pass rusher round one, that tells me that they don't feel like Felix is going to break through.
No, you're 100% correct, because ideally you got two first round edges there and a vet who's been productive pretty much every stop. It's like you don't need too much more. You shouldn't need too much more than that unless, one of those first round edges just isn't living up to it.
A couple more questions here for Mike Renner. Let's go back to the running backs for just a little bit. Let's say that Kansas City uses a second or third round pick. They're at 63 and they're also at 66. What value do you think you could find at running back at either two of those slots?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's value wherever you draft a running back in this draft class, truthfully. It's just an exceptional draft class.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm leaning more towards later on, just because, again, I have 12 guys who would have been top five backs in last year's class. You know, when that's the case, when there's 12 guys who realistically should be top 100-ish picks, you're just – the later you wait, the better the value is probably going to get, because you're going to get a guy who just shouldn't be there because not every team's in the market for a running back. So some of my favorites in this class, I really love Dylan Sampson from Tennessee, who could be at the board there back end of the second round. I really love Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State, probably a pipe dream if he gets to the back end of the second round. And then I love, for like short yardage backs, I love Cam Scadabo, the Arizona State running back, probably more of a back end of the third. But if you want to convert third and ones, fourth and ones, that's your guy in this class.
That is Mike Renner joining us on the show today. He covers the draft for CBS Sports. All of our draft segments here on 96.5 The Fan are brought to you by Powell Exteriors, JM Designs, and also the Salvation Army. Mike, great stuff, man. Appreciate your time.
For sure. Thanks so much for having me. Have a good one.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference found in the details. The difference between customers and trusted neighbors. The difference between preparing for the coming weeks and planning for the coming years. The difference between serving a community and serving your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.